We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Welcome to the Forever a Bull podcast, connecting with the UB stars of the past. Here's your host, voice of the Bulls, Paul Peck.
Well, hi, everybody, and welcome to the latest edition of the Forever a Bull podcast. We're shifting a little sports gear on this one. We've done a couple of football ones lately. We're going to go and talk to one of the all-time UB greats in basketball. And while basketball recently has won 4 MAC championships in the last 5 years, and that statistic still holds true without a MAC champion, unfortunately, this year, a lot of the groundwork for the success of the Bulls basketball program was laid in the mid-2000s when this program really started to get around to going that way. And a big part of that is our guest for this Forever a Bull podcast. He is Rod Middleton. He played guard on the Bulls basketball team from 2002 to 2006. And Rod, before we get into all the specifics, do you think much about your legacy? Do the guys that you played with think about what you did back then and what it maybe has led to now?
We do. In fact, all of us are still in the area, you know, at least kind of that core group of guys. So, you know, we talk regularly on just how everything came about. I mean, my freshman year, we were like 5-23.
That is correct.
There were literally like no one in the stands. So I remember those days going there and we're just like, what do we get ourselves into? You know, just thinking like we can't be this bad. We took all our lumps and bruises, and, you know, as we started to kind of understand one another and the game a little bit more, you know, I think that's when we kind of started to turn the page, and kind of really had that success. But in the beginning, it was a struggle.
Yeah, well, you come here from Chicago, recruited by Reggie Witherspoon. So obviously there wasn't a whole lot of tangible evidence to convince you that UB was the place for you. So was part of the recruiting process and part of maybe what you believed and bought into was the fact that you could be a part of the future?
Absolutely. For me, you know, when I was looking at colleges, my biggest thing is I wanted to be able to go somewhere and play right away. You know, I didn't want to have to go and then, you know, sit 2-3 years on the bench and kind of wait my turn. And Buffalo, you know, they sold me on that idea of, you know, even though they weren't, you know, up there at the moment, you know, they had some good pieces in place and, you know, they had some guys coming in and like I said, it was an opportunity for me to come in right away my freshman year and play and get some good minutes. So that's really what sold me on, you know, coming to UB.
All right, so after that difficult first year with only the 5 wins, it was an incredible turnaround to your sophomore year of 2003-2004. Winds up being a 17-win season for the Bulls and capped off by the first ever Mid-American Conference tournament win. And I think good Bulls fans are going to remember that preliminary home game against Northern Illinois. Huge crowd on hand. What do you remember about that moment?
I just remember, you know, for us, it was a regular day. You know, I just remember pulling up to the gym and seeing that line literally like down the street. And then we just all kind of looked at each other like, man, this is a big deal. Like, we knew it was a big deal, but actually seeing everyone, you know, 3-4 hours before the game in line waiting to come in, you know, that's when we knew, like, this is something special, and we have a chance to do something. You know, it obviously hasn't been done. So, you know, we really took pride in that and going out there and just, you know, kind of giving it all our all that game. And, you know, we ended up getting the victory. So, you know, it was just a great moment, you know, just to have that many. I don't remember exactly, but I think it might have been sold out. It had to be sold out.
I'm pretty sure it was. There's a great photo. Our friend and our colleague, John Fuller from the Athletic Communications Office, has the picture, like a wide shot of the arena in his office, in the Athletic Communications Office. And it's always cool to see it. Now, there have been sellouts at UB at Alumni Arena since then, but knowing that was one of the very first ones and knowing the significance of that moment, and still pretty cool when I walk into the office and glance at it.
I mean, yeah, it that game right there was the turning point, I think, for, you know, kind of UB to, you know, have other teams and coaches kind of say like, oh, you know, Buffalo has something over there. So for us, it was one of those things where it was good to, you know, kind of lay that foundation, but at the same time, we knew it was only the beginning.
Well,
we knew that there was a bigger picture.
Yeah, well, it clearly was only the beginning because the next year winds up being the year where the Bulls go to the MAC championship game in Cleveland. And boy, that one still burns. If it burns with me and a lot of fans, I can only imagine how much it burns with you. That late tip in by Ohio to give them that championship. I'm sure you probably try to avoid any references to it, but it's hard sometimes, isn't it?
It is. You know, I think that's the one game that I've never watched, you know, never. And even to this day, like when we talk about it, all we do is just shake our heads. You know, there's really no words to kind of describe to be that close, because we were up like 20.
Right.
I think in the second half. And it was one of those things. And, you know, I always tell kids now that, you know, that I work with where, you know, we kind of lost sight of it. A little bit, you know, in the moment, and as opposed to, you know, kind of playing loose and playing to win, we kind of played not to lose, you know, towards the end. And it was unfortunate that kind of got the best of us. But, you know, we also look at if that goes in, maybe all of our lives turn out differently. You know, you never know what path you're supposed to go down. So it's tough to, you know, look back and talk about it, but at the same time, everything happens for a reason.
Yep.
And, you know, we are where we are. And even though it would have been nice to have that one, but I know there's a bigger picture at hand. So.
Yeah, and it does lead to a trip to the NIT tournament and a win.
Correct.
In the NIT, you know, and then it transitions into a senior year where, you know, it gets off to a good start. You had some big wins. Was that 30-point game that you had, was that in your senior year?
Yes. Was it, that was a Kent State
Kent
game,
State, that's right.
Yeah. That was my senior year. Me and my backcourt mate, Calvin Cage, I believe we both had 30.
I think it's the only time in UB history that two players have had 30 points in a game.
Yeah. So we were, and that was one of the things, you know, I said, that was the whole point of, you know, if we go back to the beginning, coming to UB, because there was that opportunity to, you know, play early, and then knowing if I played early when I got later in my career, the ball would really, you know, be in my hands a lot more, and I'd be a, you know, even more of an integral part of the team. And, you know, my senior year, I know the first couple of games, I don't know if I came out the game, you know, my senior year. I was probably averaging, you know, games are only 40 minutes, but I was probably averaging 45 minutes because we went to overtime a couple of games. So it was fun, you know, senior year was fun and I enjoyed it.
You know, something interesting about the way your career kind of traveled was that you wound up playing against your brother. Your brother Cedric played at Akron. He was a little bit younger than you. What? And we should also mention that you had another brother that played football in the MAC. So having this kind of MAC family, but specifically going against your brother in basketball, what were those memories like? Do you guys still talk about that?
We do. And it was funny because we was actually recruiting him early on. So before he signed with Akron, you know, UB was recruiting him, and, you know, me and him would talk, and, you know, it would have been nice to have him on board and to come here and to play, but I think we ended up signing another guard, and then he ended up going to Akron. So, you know, it was nice to go up. Parents always got the, you know, kind of 2-for-1 deal to see both of us play, and it was always bragging rights, you know, whoever had the better game, and we would be home in the summer, and, you know, because we would always get in the gym together and work out and play. It was, you know, whoever had the better game kind of had bragging rights, you know, that summer. So it was one of the things that we always kind of looked forward to, going against each other.
Yeah, and speaking of brotherhood, you got a brotherhood with a great group of guys that you played with. And as you mentioned, a lot of them remain in Western New York. And Turner Battle was certainly one of the all-time greats at UB history. But guys like Mark Bortz and Jason Bird and Danny Gilbert, those are guys that are still in Buffalo. Turner's coaching. Calvin Cage is coaching. Yeah. How much do you stay in touch with those guys? How much, in a lot of ways, have those guys become brothers for you?
We all consider each other brothers, you know, and even when I got married, you know, four years ago, they were in my wedding. You know, I had Calvin Cage in my wedding, Turner, Danny Gilbert. So, you know, to this day, we all still talk. Clem Smith is still in town. So, you know, sometimes we get on Zoom and, you know, we have chats just kind of reminiscing about, you know, the old days. So it's funny because when we were at UB, all of us said we're never coming back to Buffalo. Like once we graduate, we were like, we're gone. Like it's cold, it snows, there's nothing in Buffalo. So now that we're all, you know, grown up now and that we pretty much live in Buffalo now, the majority of us, it's funny how you know, life kind of played out like that.
Yeah, well, speaking as a guy who didn't grow up here either, but who's been here over 30 years, this place can suck you in a good
exactly.
way, in a good way.
Exactly.
So you've that core of guys, and you obviously keep in touch with them, and we touched on this earlier, but how much have you enjoyed seeing where this program has gone, not just on the basketball front, clearly, which has been incredible, but other sports? And, you know, and you guys were really in on that ground level. And, you know, and I remember back in those days, everybody hoped, but maybe not everybody was sure that it was ever going to get there. What's the conversation like amongst you guys when you sort of reflect on then versus now?
Well, I know when we talk about it, we always say, oh, our team would have beat, would have beat these guys, you know, if we had the chance to play it. Play against them. So that's the first thing that we always say. But, you know, there's a sense of pride, you know, that you have because, you know, we went from when we used to tell people, you know, where'd you go? We'll say Buffalo. Where's that at? You know, Buffalo. What conference are in? And now if you say Buffalo, it's like, oh, yeah, I know Buffalo. They're, you know, this, and this. And they can, you know, rattle off things. So just to see that evolution, you know, how Buffalo's gone from being, you know, kind of at the bottom to now rising up to where they are. There's a lot of pride and, you know, we're all, you know, eager to, you know, wear our UB gear and, you know, have conversations about it because we are out, you know, front and center. We're on, you know, ESPN and, you know, we get some major coverage and even, you know, going to the tournament the last couple of years have really done a lot to put Buffalo on the map. So, you know, we're just proud and, you know, happy that, you know, we kind of started it and that, you know, things have been able to kind of continue and just go to where it is now.
Yeah, that's good stuff. And ultimately, that's what, you know, being an alum and being proud of your university is all about. So after you get done at UB, you go overseas a little bit. And I know I've talked to enough guys over the years that there's always a good story or two about not only playing in Europe or wherever it was that you went to, but just life over there as a basketball player. What do you remember most about your international experience?
Well, my first year out, I played in first division France. And so just imagine, you know, being in another country, not knowing the language. I just remember that the guy picked me up from my airport, didn't speak any English, first of all. So he's trying to talk to me. I'm trying to talk to him. I don't know what he's saying. He doesn't know what I'm saying. So we had about an hour car ride, you know, back to my apartment. And, you know, as he's talking and driving through the city, he's kind of like, okay, the gym's there, you know, grocery store's there, you know, and just kind of pointing to things. And I'm, you know, just guessing like, okay, he kind of means this is the gym and this is, you know, the grocery store. And then he just drops me off in my apartment and, you know, I was like, see you Monday. You know, I think I got in like a Saturday morning and he was like, see you Monday for practice. And I'm just like, what the heck? Like, I don't know where I am. I don't know none of the language. So I was just kind of stuck. Like, I had a phone card to call home, but I tried to pick up the payphone and everything's in French. I didn't know how to use it, didn't have any internet. So I literally felt lost for like 2 days. Like, I didn't know where I was. I couldn't talk to anybody. I couldn't do anything. So that first year was kind of eye opening. And I was just like, yeah, this is different.
Yeah, I bet. You know,
type of thing. But, you know, after the other Americans, you know, got there and I met some of the teammates, everything was okay with that.
Where else did you play other than France?
So after that, the next year I played in Germany. I played in Germany for a year. That was okay. I came like halfway through the season, so that was like towards the end. And then my last 2 years, I actually played with one of my teammates, Danny Gilbert, in England. So it was nice to, you know, be overseas with, you know, with one of my teammates from Buffalo over there. So England was probably my best experience, and just from numbers wise, kind of best seasons over there, just as far as, you know, putting up numbers and like I said, being able to have, you know, a good friend over there with you, you know, made it all more special.
All right. So what brings you back? What makes you decide to come back to the States? And then what specifically brings you back to Buffalo? And then that'll be our transition into talking a little bit about what you're doing now.
Well, I moved back in Buffalo, 2015. And my whole thing was, well, kind of going backwards a little bit, when I was at UB, I actually ended up having two back surgeries. I had one at the end of my freshman year and then the end of my sophomore year. So, you know, after my sophomore year, I started just mentally, you know, preparing myself and saying, what would I want to do after basketball? And, you know, my whole thing was I wanted to get into kind of strength conditioning and kind of coaching just to, one, so I could just know what was going on with my body, and two, I can maybe help that next athlete who, you know, might be struggling with injuries. Because if you play a sport, more than likely you're going to get injured in some fashion of it. So, you know, once I finished playing, I had an opportunity to come back to Buffalo and take a job doing strength and conditioning. It actually was right across from UB at it used to be the Pepsi Center. Now I think it's the Northtown Center.
You were working with John Opfer, I assume, over there, right? Yeah, former Bulls football player.
Yep. So I was working over there at Pro Forma Sports Training. So that's what brought me back to Buffalo. You know, it was a chance for me to, you know, learn and kind of study under him and kind of develop my skill set in that area. And you know, I did that for 3 years before I eventually ended up, you know, branching off and opening up my own facility with another former UB Bull, Tony Watson.
All right, so tell us about Pro Training Basketball, which is located here in Western New York in Wheatfield, and it's you and Tony Watson, like you said, another UB basketball player. Tell everybody how you came up with the idea for it and exactly what you have been able to do to kind of help that next generation become better basketball players.
All right, well, first, I know Tony. I actually used to train Tony when he was at UB. So when I would come home in the summer, you know, I would always go to UB and kind of work out and jump in the runs, you know, with the guys. And, you know, he was a freshman at the time, and he was one of those kids who just wanted to get better. You know, he wanted to get in the gym. So that's how our kind of relationship kind of started. He would, you know, 6 a.m. we would be in the gym working out, just trying to get better. So that's how that kind of started. Once he got done playing, I was already doing the strength training, you know, over at Performance Sports Center. And Tony was actually doing some training online. So once he came back to Buffalo, you know, we just started talking and kind of putting ideas together. And, you know, one of the things we thought of, you know, why don't we, you know, kind of work together, you know, so we can kind of touch on the strength training side of things as well as the basketball side. You know, we both have knowledge in the game of basketball, just playing at UB and playing overseas. And then I have a background in strength and conditioning as well. So we thought if we kind of merged the two, we would be able to, you know, offer athletes kind of a full package and not just have it be one-sided. So that's how kind of the concept came about. And we literally were just like, why don't we just open up a gym? You know, and I think that's how it started. You know, before we were renting out gyms here and there, just, you know, doing little stuff. But, you know, we decided to kind of take it to the next level and get serious. So we actually ended up leasing space out in Wheatfield, where we were able to put in a, you know, modified basketball court and a modified, you know, strength training area. So we can kind of work with the kids and develop them. And things are going good, you know, since then. I know a lot of the kids that we work with are, you know, grade school, you know, high school level. Every now and then we get a couple college guys that come in. We've actually worked with a couple of UB players. I know Devontae Jordan, I think that's his name. He's been in with Tony. There's been two more guys. I forget their names. Honestly, Tony knows them. He trains with them.
Yeah, that's great. Well, you know, Rod, we've seen the sports-specific training really take off across the board maybe in the last 5 to 10 years. So when you work with a basketball player, is it, you know, he's a post player, we're going to teach him post moves, he's a point guard, going to improve his passing? I mean, are those the kind of things that you have the ability to offer your students?
Yeah, so we can definitely tailor it to whatever position, you know, that they need. Our biggest thing is just, you know, nowadays the way the game is, it doesn't matter where you play at. You have to be able to handle the ball. You have to be able to shoot it. So we always kind of work on that basic foundation with no matter who you are. And then from there, as you kind of been with us, then we kind of, you know, go off and if you're more of a post player, then we kind of hone in on those low post skills. But we try to, you know, like I said, the game's evolved, and nowadays for kids to be able to compete, you got to be able to handle the ball, you got to be able to shoot it, you got to be able to pass it, you got to be able to play defense. So we try to cover every aspect and not just, all right, we're going to get in here today and just shoot a three.
You know, I think while not Chicago, your hometown, this has always been a bit of an underrated basketball area. There's always been really high-level basketball played here. I think you're starting to see some kids that are from this area go on to play at, you know, major top 25 programs and you know, and even get a chance to play a little bit in the pros. How would you sort of assess the basketball skill level in Western New York?
I think it definitely up and coming, and it's, you know, it's moving in the right direction. I think the thing with Buffalo, there's a lot of, you know, good talent around here and good players. It's just a matter of being in the position for them to be seen, you know, kind of on that national level. I know this year we have some kids in the area that are actually getting, you know, having some of that success and being seen on that national level. So I definitely think that the basketball around here is on the rise. But when you look at other cities, you know, like Chicago or, you know, New York or out on the West Coast, it's just, there's more kids playing the game. So, you know, it's only right that they're going to be seen a little bit more because that pool is just greater than, you know, Buffalo, that, like I said, we have a lot of kids, but not as many as some of those other major cities.
That's pretty cool. And it's pretty cool the work that you and Tony are doing to help raise the talent level and maybe churn some more high-level college players out. If a Bulls fan listening to this wants to maybe get their kid involved, what's the best way to touch base with you and Tony over at the facility?
All right, so they can always go to our website, and it's protrainingbb.com. All numbered. Once again, it's protrainingbb.com. And on there, you know, there's our contact info, and you can kind of see exactly what we have going on as far as, you know, schedules, pricing, what we offer, and all that. So that would probably be the best way to kind of, you know, get on there and see what we have and get a hold of us.
Well, that's great. And, you know, and it's great to have you guys stay in town, become part of our Western New York community, and obviously, like you said, soak in a lot of what being a Bull is all about, as there's been so much success here moving forward. Rod, it was cool to catch up with you. And like I said at the beginning, I think your era sometimes maybe gets a little bit lost sometimes, particularly in all the recent success from UB Athletics lately, but I think those of us that were around then know how much of a groundwork you laid. Is that going to be the legacy maybe of those teams of your era?
I believe so. You know, like I said, to this day when we talk, we definitely feel like we laid the groundwork and kind of, you know, got Buffalo on the map. And then, you know, the next group of kids, the next generation, they kind of got us over that hump. You know, that's one thing about, you know, being a Bull is at the end of the day, you know, we're all family, and, you know, we were more than happy to kind of do what we did and play our part in it. And that next generation kind of got us over the hump. So it's nice to see how the, you know, kind of the older generation, that new generation were kind of able to mesh and take Buffalo to that next level.
Well, it's great. Appreciate the thoughts, and it's great to catch up with you. Rod Middleton, 2002 to 2006, joining us here. Good luck in the future, Rod. Hopefully we get to see
you
pretty
much
soon at some football and basketball games and catch up with you, but we hope you've enjoyed our little drift back into the 2000s for the latest edition of the Forever a Bull podcast.
Once a Bull, always a Bull. This has been a production of Bulls Digital.